hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and special greetings for this season, very important season in the Christian calendar. We thank God for this Easter season, and it's the most important time as believers, where we remember what Christ did for us, the sacrifice for our sake. Indeed, it's the greatest gift humanity can get from God. Anyway, the program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and I'll be with you for the next hour till 9 p.m. And I'll first talk about the news, and then a few things, and that will be it for the night. I believe last week, those who listened, you could listen to it online, spiritissues.info, or in the Telegram group. I was talking about the financial systems, the dollar challenges that is now facing from Russia, China, and the rest, the BRICS nations. Tonight, the news has a few of that and whole other things as well. No, but my biggest worry tonight is the rise of this transgender movement, the transhumanism, all these things that AI and all that. Well, I mean, we've heard a lot about Easter, on the radio and in church, and also I wouldn't be dwelling on the Easter message. But let's start with the news first, and then we'll see how the Lord leads us in tonight's edition. Greetings to our listeners elsewhere, online, and outside the region, outside the country as well. Powerful 7.0 magnitude quake strikes Papua New Guinea. And as for the disasters, a lot is happening these days. Look at the news. So many things are happening, but the times we are in is such that, you see, if you want to understand it as a believer, just don't look at one thing, but what did Jesus say regarding our times? Pestilences, famine, wars, rumors of wars. These are the beginning, you know. So it's not the end as it is. It's the beginning of sorrows, beginning of things, beginning of events unfolding. But you see, when you are seeing all the things he said will be happening prior to his coming, that's the beginning of these times, then at least we should be alert in terms of our preparedness for more things to come as believers, so that we are not caught in more of a surprise and a shock, because we know from our word, the word of God that we read, that these things were prophesied ahead of time. The next one says CDC, that's the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, sounds the alarm regarding the Marburg virus after deadly Africa outbreak, and is urging travelers to Uganda and Tanzania to be mindful of contracting the deadly Marburg virus. The CDC is also sending personnel to these countries to assist the stopping of the outbreak. All right, I just hope they're able to contain it there. Then this one, quite bizarre and strange, but not surprising. Man dies after dies by suicide after talking with AI chat bot. A Belgian man recently died by suicide after chatting with an AI, artificial intelligence chatbot, on an app called Chai. Belgian outlet La Libre reported. The incident raises the issue of how businesses and governments can better regulate them and mitigate the risks of AI. A few weeks ago, I mean barely 2 weeks, Elon Musk and about 1,000 IT business owners, companies and executives signed a letter, open letter, calling on governments to do something about the surge of AI, artificial intelligence, because it poses a huge risk to humanity. I agree perfectly with them. But there is the opposing side, Bill Gates and his other colleagues, who are benefiting directly. Bill Gates has pumped $10 billion into OpenAI, the group behind the ChatGPT, now the ChatGPT-4. He's pumped $10 billion in there. So clearly, I mean, he has a vested interest. So clearly he will not agree that there should be a pause of the AI development. But you see, the trend at which this AI thing is going is worrying because, one, it's biased towards liberalism. So, for instance, you see, it's programmed by mostly these programmers and these tech companies are liberal by nature, most. So their biases is what they are putting in these artificial intelligence systems. So if the programmer is transgender, the programmer is LGBT, the programmer is atheist, programmer is anti-God, is whatever, that is the mindset in which they are doing this programming. And that is the information that they would be biased in feeding these systems, be it robot or the chatbot or whatever. One, let me give an example, for instance, where in one of the chat systems, the chatbots, actually ChatGPT or chat the GT4, and is asked to write something about former US President Donald Trump. He says there's nothing good to write, it won't write. And then Elon Musk says, these are controversial people, so it won't write an essay on them. But then it will willingly write an essay on, Joe Biden or other liberal leaders, you see. So clearly you see a bias there. Why do you classify some people as, conservative, controversial people, so you won't write something about them? Now, just yesterday, Google is saying they're about to infuse a chat bot into the Google search system. So that can be alongside the normal Google search we know, where you can, in this case, chat with the bots for your answers. But now, if the system is biased towards, let's say, Christianity, who is Jesus? And the information that the system has been fed is Jesus is a myth. There's no Jesus. Jesus is not true. Jesus didn't die and all that. That is the answer it will give you. And it's not like you have an option, but it's like that is the final answer it's giving you. So unlike the normal search engine, which you are at least getting the true information from various sources, then you choose what you are interested in or you think makes more sense to you and all that. This one is a bit more limited. It's like, what is this? It gives you the answer. That is it. So some fear, and that's where Elon Musk and others are coming in, that eventually the search systems like Google and all will fade away and we'll just have chatbots as search engines. So you are chatting with the AI and it will be giving you the answers it thinks it's right. But what if it's a lie? That's where the problem is. This week there was a case, a professor who a chatbot said has committed sexual offenses against his students, which wasn't true. So now the man is considering suing the company. You see, so these are the issues people are getting worried about. But this is to do with the bots, the chat systems. But even now, if you look at the robot aspects, where the robots are being built, like these Terminator systems, where eventually they can decide on their own, like in the military sense, robots will decide to kill or not to kill. There's no empathy there. It's not a human being. There's no soul. So it doesn't have any feelings. If even human beings can be wicked to do outrageous things, you can imagine what a robot with no feelings, AI will be doing. No feelings. So you just assign, go out, kill anyone who doesn't believe in Jesus, who believes in Jesus. I mean, no feelings. Just like as simple as that. You see, so the fears of Elon Musk and the other, the thousand, IT specialists or experts and company owners and all that, I agree with them, because this AI, the way it's going, is really going to cause problems for the world. But, well, on the other side, some believe that eventually it will really fit perfectly into the Antichrist system, in their monitoring, in their targeting Christians, in all the other things. I mean, that will be aligned to the Antichrist rule as well. All right, we go on. Ditch the dollar movement grows as Russia calls for the creation of a common BRICS currency. So following years of abusing the reserve currency status, the U.S. now faces a growing wave of global de-dollarization as many large and populous countries on the planet are banding together to launch a U.S. alternative, U.S. dollar alternative, to be used in global trade. According to a report from local news outlet State Duma, Deputy Chairman Alexander Babakov is encouraging the creation, encouraging the creation of a new common currency between Russia, India, and other BRICS nations. So that's Brazil, Russia itself, India, China, South Africa. But the way things are going, they are soon going to have Saudi joining Iran and others. So it poses a serious risk for the US dollar, especially what happened last week. I spoke about it. I mean, you have Brazil and China agreeing to use their currencies, local currencies, outside the US dollar for transactions. And last week or so, the Asian countries, they also met and they also discussed that it's time to also ditch the dollar, the pound, the yen, and use their normal currencies instead of depending on these stronger economies for their currencies. So there's an uprising, a gradual one that is building up thick and fast. And last week I spoke about it in terms of the issues it can cause for the world system and all that. You can listen to last week's edition on spiritissues.info for what I talked about last week. Israel is really boiling. A lot of tension in Israel now, where Israel launches strikes in Lebanon and Gaza after a barrage of rockets fired across border. So tensions continue to simmer after Israel struck Palestinian militant targets in southern Lebanon and Gaza on Friday, raising the specter of a wider regional escalation in the wake of police raids on the Alaska Mosque in Jerusalem. The strikes came hours after dozens of rockets were fired from Lebanon into Israeli territory. An attack Israeli military blamed on Palestinian militants. The barrage from Lebanon was the largest since 2006 war between the two countries. Violence continued to spiral on Friday afternoon when two Israeli sisters, aged 16 and 20, were killed and their mother was seriously wounded in a shooting attack in the occupied West Bank. The Israeli military says it was on high alert, calling up the unspecified number of reservists amid what it described as very volatile times. And it's very volatile because the Ramadan is ongoing, and then this is also the holy season for the Passover for the Jews. And tensions are really, really high there. Okay, you know, Israel is a major component or a major piece when it comes to the end times, and a lot of things will revolve around Israel. And the next news is one of such things. The Turkish president Erdogan tells Iran that Muslim world must unite against Israel. So the Turkish president Recep Tayyip Erdogan told his Iranian counterparts Ibrahim Raisi over the phone that the Islamic world should be united against Israel's attacks in Palestine, Turkish media reported. According to Jerusalem Post, the two world leaders also discussed the incidents at the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Iranian-Turkish relations, the report said. The Turkish president also noted the importance to pressure the status of holy areas and emphasized reasonable thinking in order to prevent further escalation of violence in Israel and the Palestinian territories, according to sources. Israeli Foreign Minister Eli Cohen then told his Turkish counterpart Mevlut Cavusoglu the same day that the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, will respond to any attempt to terrorize civilians. The incident came during the Muslim holy month of Ramadan and on the eve of the Jewish Passover. This friendship between Turkey and Iran is worrying because Iran has now formalized their relationship with Saudi. They used to be enemies. China has been able to broker a peace friendship deal, and now Saudi and Iran, even this week, their top leaders, not presidency level, but top ministers, had a meeting, bilateral meetings. So the relationship between Saudi and Iran, which used to be a big issue, if now they are becoming friends, and it's like we are going to have a common enemy, that's the U.S., it raises a lot of issues when now Turkey is bringing this call that Muslim countries should come together against Israel. So the alliances are beginning to fall in place and fall in line. Eventually, yes, they all gang up and surround Israel, as prophecy has it. I'm not talking about it in particular today, so I didn't put the verses together for that. But one of these days, God willing, I'll be addressing the Israel component and how things are shaping up regarding the times we are in and what Bible prophecy says about it. Top U.S. general warns that alliance between Iran, Russia, and China will spell big trouble for America. And yeah, he explained, it's the fact and the truth, because Russia... Yeah, it seems like the Ukraine war hasn't gone as everybody thought, a big player, things would have been. But never do not underestimate their capability, because they have very deadly weapons which they've not used in Iran, like the Satan 2 and all these missiles and wild. They have things they can really use against the US if the time comes. And ganging up with China now is... China is now a very... The dragon has really risen. Not rising, it's risen now. And so the bear and the China... The bear being Russia, China being the dragon. The dragon and the bear alliance is something to be worried about. Coupled with Iran, it makes it even extra. So the U.S. general, top general, is right, because clearly U.S. has a lot to contend with when it comes to these three nations. Then, a quick one. China military rehearses encircling Taiwan after U.S. speaker visit. So, China has started 3 days of military exercises around Taiwan after the island's president met the U.S. House Speaker in defiance of repeated threats by Beijing. The exercises, dubbed United Sharp Sword, have been denounced by Taiwan. China sees Taiwan as its own territory and has not ruled out using force to bring it under its control. The Chinese military's Eastern Theater Command announced the drill Saturday, describing them as a serious warning against the Taiwan separatist forces, collusion with external forces, and the necessary move to defend national sovereignty and international integrity. The task force simultaneously organized patrols around the island to create an all-round encirclement and deterrent situation, the Eastern Theater Command said. Soon after the announcement by China, Taiwan's Defense Ministry said it had detected a total of 42 Chinese warplanes over the Taiwan Strait, which separates the island from the Chinese mainland. It said 29 Chinese warplanes had crossed the median line in the strait into its air defense identification zone. It added that 8 PLA that's the Chinese military vessels had been spotted in the strait. So actually what has triggered the anger from on China's side is the Taiwanese leader met the US the House Speaker in the US, and China warned against it, but the meeting still went on. And this is what China has already been from last year, is really stepped up the campaign to retake Taiwan. And they know that the US will be against it, but per the laws or the principles in US, according to US, I mean their defense information and all, US in principle cannot fight directly on, like, with Taiwan against China or against any aggression. The best they can do is to help with military equipment, just like they are doing in the Ukraine issue. And China knows this, so they know that at the right time, when they decide to flex their muscles and take Taiwan, they will not have much opposition, because US cannot fight on behalf of Taiwan, according to an agreed rule that is there. But as to whether, when the time comes, that rule will be broken by whichever president is in power, that's something else to see. Now, the next set of news items is a clear indication that we are in a world gone mad. Oh yeah, the world has gone mad, and it's just amazing how the world is just becoming more anti-God by the day. The first one is, Biden administration will bar schools from outright banning biological males in women's sports. I mean, you would ask yourself, why would the government be so interested in promoting this transgender thing? I mean, it doesn't really make sense, but that's what we are seeing. So the government says that they would, you know, they are going to, because some states are beginning to ban males from participating in female sports. And the White House is not happy at all. So they are going to use a rule to try and stop that, so that biological males can still, this madness, run with girls or women, swim with them, and they will win because of the advantage they have body-wise and strength and all that, testosterone level and all. But the US government doesn't see it that way. They want to stop. So far, the 20 states have enacted such measures to try and protect women's sports, and Joe Biden and his squad are not happy. Then the next one, the next title, Woke University Professor, Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh Professor, denies the difference in male and female skeletons. So according to the NYP report, a Woke University of Pittsburgh professor, anthropology professor, denied there is a difference in male and female bone structure during a discussion about gender, sparking disbelief and outrage. Quote, if you were to dig up a human, two humans, 100 years from now, both a male, a man and a woman, could you tell the difference strictly off the bones? He says no. But in biology, that's not the case. The structure, there's a difference. You can determine the structure of a bone or a skeleton as male or female. But now, this professor of anthropology says no, because, you know, so that's why they use woke. I mean, now this woke madness, as if they are suddenly the enlightened ones, they have more wisdom than anyone else, says it's not so. You know, but it's not surprising, because last year, I remember I read one news item where a medical school lecturer was lecturing in one of the universities in California and was saying that gender is only two. This is medical class. People supposed to be preparing, learning to be doctors. We have only two genders, male, female. And the students, some went to report him. They were angry. Report him. I mean, that's how... I mean, it's part of why I say the world has become... madness is now really taking over. Because biology is obvious. Male, female. But if you can be offended as medical students for your professor saying that you have two genders, male and female, then there's something wrong with the society. The next news item, that one says, transgender golfer, that's a male, sparks social media outrage after winning Women's Australian Golf Tournament. And it's like, suddenly they are all over the place, they are winning, they are being awarded Woman of the Year. No. Woman of the Year, then you see a man standing there trying to be a woman, they say it's a Woman of the Year, and is happy to receive the award. And those giving the award, we don't have words to describe them. But this is what is happening. The madness. The madness is ruling. The madness is ruling. Now Nike, the sportswear Nike company, is also facing backlash seriously this week because they are partnering with a transgender influencer. And this activist is now advertising for Nike, their bra and then leggings. So bra and leggings for women. Now a transgender, supposed man who claims he's a woman, is now the one advertising for them. And people are furious. Some have started calling for the blacklisting of Nike. People should stop buying Nike products and all that. But you see, the worrying part is, it doesn't stay there in their Western world. They want to push it down on us here. Just we had, the U.S. Vice President come in not long ago, barely 2 weeks ago. Now, this week, we have the French government rep also coming to Ghana, and it's also coming to talk about the same thing. And you just marvel as to why they are so fixated about the fact that we should all be like them. If your society is getting mad, well, enjoy your asylum situation and enjoy it. But they want to extend the madness to the whole world. The whole world should also be mad as they are. So you see, you have anti-LGBTQ bill. French government flags Ghana over respect for human rights. So speaking at a news conference in Accra, the French Minister of State for Europe and Foreign Affairs, Development, Francophonie and International Partnerships, Chrysoula Zakropoulis, noted that, quote, regarding the LGBT community, in my country, in the European Union, we promote human rights, and of course, in my ministry, we have an ambassador who promotes LGBT rights, unquote. Okay, that's in your country. Fine, I have no problem with that. Quote again, so what I can say is that this is our value, and wherever I go in Africa, I will continue to say we have to respect all of us. The LGBT community is a question of human rights, unquote. So she sat in a plane all the way, flew from Paris, came to Accra, and came to tell us this. I mean, come on. But this is the world we are in. You know, it's getting more alarming suddenly. It's as if that's the most important thing for the world now. I mean, various countries, this and that, transgender this, transgender, they are taking over the prisons, women prison, they are taking men there, they are raping them in the women's prisons. I mean, and you ask yourself, what has happened to common sense? Common sense. I mean, it's obvious. You see a man with broad shoulders and is still having his genitals intact, says, I'm a woman, so take me to a woman's prison, and then it's agreed. I mean, ask yourself, why would somebody agree to do this? But it's happening. I mean, you read some of the reports and it's like, wow, what has come over the world? Let me just read Romans chapter 1. Perhaps you'll get a better picture. Because the Bible really describes, just as the world is happening, we are seeing, that's exactly how the Bible describes it. I just love the rendition, the way Romans chapter 1 puts it. Let me start from verse 18. Yeah, I think that would be better. From 18. Yeah, okay. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Is that not what we are seeing? Is that not what we are seeing? And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, that's 26, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also, the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, bend in their lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. Now this, they hate God to the core. They hate God. Actually, see, the hatred for God is so strong that the symbol that they choose to represent their lifestyle is the same symbol God used in the time of Noah to communicate to us, to warn humanity. So, as a way of really insulting God, they take the rainbow colors to insult God even the more. That yes, this is our lifestyle and we are proud of it. Using the warning of God as their flag of identity of their lifestyle. That's how they hate God, to the point where they are using the rainbow to insult him. You said you will not destroy the earth again with water. Of course, we are taking that symbol, the rainbow colors, to tell you that this is how we want to live. Look at us. We don't care. We don't fear you. That's what they are doing, and that's what they are saying. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Inventors of evil things. Some of this, the AI things, some are really evil. I mean, some of the inventions, not all, but some are crossing to the point of evil. Because if you can have an engagement with a human being and it can cause the person to commit suicide because the conversation was a bit skewed towards making you feel bad to the point where you can commit suicide. This is an invention, evil invention. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. You know, this disobedient to parents, a pastor once spoke of a boy in a compound house, a very stubborn boy, child. And people talk about him, and then he has the audacity to say that, well, Bible says, "We Abraham collabo ne beba, ye ni abano." And I mean, how can you have a child say this? Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Now, the verse 32, which is a warning to all of us, because we can easily fall into this category. The verse 32. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Not only do same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This warning is very serious because you have people who advocate for some of these things. They themselves are not practicing it, but they are advocates. Oh, give them their rights. Well, it's their rights. You allow them. Once you decide to advocate for any of these things I read about, these things from verse 29 to 31, if you advocate, you support in one way or the other, your punishment is the same as those doing it, those engaging in whichever act. So we have to be very careful and draw the line, not to be swayed by any convincing words to try and support some of these things, whichever way it is or whichever it is. If it is no, it is no. Let's stick to our biblical principles, our Christian standards. Because the world is becoming, the wokeness, quote unquote wokeness, is like, it's a madness that is contagious, let me put it that way. It's spreading. It's beginning to spread gradually. Because, you see, it's demonic. I mean, that's a fact. This is a Christian program. We say it as it is. It is demonic. So it is spreading. Because you look at the behavior of people and you ask yourself, if not demons that are manipulating this person, what else? An individual, single person, you say we should call you they. And so to think, where from the plural? The they. That means you and the demons, we are one. So they, yes, plural. You and the demon, they. So, okay, they are justified in being called they because the demons are manipulating the person. And now they are so bold to say that call us they, call me they. I mean, how can you use that pronoun for someone? They. A human, one person, you say, call me they. Now they don't want the he or she again. No, call me they. Now you fill a form and gender, male, female, prefer not to. Oh, no, since when? Prefer not to talk about it. So, third option, prefer not to. This is the world we are in. And you see, thank God for our values, our little values that at least we are still maintaining here in our poor continent. But the question is, for how long can we sustain and hold on? Because there are also undercurrents that are undermining the values very fast with money. They are using money to undermine our values. So it will not be that long. Last week I was talking about it, how some MPs are being threatened by this gay LGBT lobbyists with money to unseat them in their primaries because they are threats to the LGBT community in the country. You see, and if we have these lobbies now moving in the country with money, that becomes an issue. So you see, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. But we should stand our ground as believers. We should stand our ground and ensure that we protect our children. The greatest tragedy is to bring up a child in the fear of God and allow that child to fall into this wokeness madness that is overtaking the world thick and fast. We have to be careful because, you see, in as much as we are not being really indoctrinated by the educational system in these regards, a lot of homes are allowing it indirectly through the television, the programming. We have spoken countless times on this. The programming of some stations are geared towards some of these things subtly, indirectly. So it's not too direct. But see, normally the subtle things are even more deadly. So the parents is not aware to be able to stop it. But your child is being destroyed little by little. Little by little. You know, in the light of this, I don't know if I can. There's a few things I think parents should take note of to really combat these things, the wokeness that is directly and indirectly confronting us. But I'll be back after this beautiful Easter song by Carmen.
Violently, they grabbed his arms as they tightly strapped each wrist. With a hellish look stood a strong-armed soldier, whip clenched in his fist. Laced with chips of bone, they beat him hard from his shoulders to his feet. And it sliced right through his olive skin, just like razors through a sheet. Countless times the blood splattered as each inhuman lash was given. Several times his knees gave way as his flesh just hung like ribbons. Then surprisingly, he turned his head, though the words he used were few. The soldier's face turned pale when he said, "This blood is for you." Uncaringly, they tossed a garment across his weakened form, and his blood pressure fell deathly low as the crowds began to swarm. They forced him to carry his cross uphill as his face they punched and smacked, while the splinters from the crisscross beam dug deep into his back. Through lack of sleep and dehydration, his tongue began to swell. And weakened by his loss of blood, this prophet teacher fell. When he did, some blood splattered on a man named Simon Shu. And as he bent to wipe it off, the prophet looked and said, "Simon, this blood is for you.
This blood can save the soul, heal the sick, mend the heart. This blood can give you access to the very throne of God. And it still can go the distance through the pain to where you are. This blood is for you, the blood of the Lamb."
Then they pounded a spike through the bones in his wrists, bursting arteries and veins. And as they dropped the cross in the hole they dug, his body convulsed with pain. Through an agony and torment that never a soul shall find, he tilts his face towards heaven with full control of his mind. With more love than any human heard before that time or since, he made a statement that to this day makes the strongest skeptic wince. He cried, "Father God, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And as he gave his life for those lost in sin, he was saying, "This blood is for you.
And this blood can save the soul, heal the sick, mend the heart. This blood can give you access to the very throne of God. And it still can go the distance through the pain to where you are. This blood is for you.
If you're lost and alone and your mind is confused, this blood is for you. If you feel like you have been hurt and abused, this blood is for you. The atoning, cleansing blood of the Lamb.
This blood can save the soul, heal the sick, mend the heart. This blood can give you access to the very throne of God. And it still can go the distance through the pain to where you are. This blood is for you.
beautiful song by Carmen, There's Blood. You know, it's my favorite Easter song. It really narrates the whole episode of what Christ went through for you and I, to shed the blood for us. Beautiful song. All right. So, quickly, 40 minutes. Yeah. So I can quickly, 5 crucial keys for parenting in a world gone mad. And I didn't plan to, but I think it's important so that parents can understand some of these things better. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he grows, he will not depart from it. I like this version that they put here. It says, point your kids in the right direction, and when they are old, they won't be lost. This is, I think, MSG, the Message Bible, I think. All right. So, the first point is, you know, work towards being relationally present. That's create opportunities to slow down your family's pace of life so you can actively engage in face-to-face conversations with your children. When we create intentional time with our kids, we can see them for who they are and who God has designed them to be. This is not a one-off or a once-a-week occurrence. The more time we invested, the more our relational presence and relational connection will positively impact your child and their overall well-being. So work towards being relationally present. We are in a very competitive world where time and all these things are taking parents away from the children. But we should find a way still to be able to connect with them. The key number 2, work toward knowing what is going on in your child's world. And this is very important, because taking the idea of being relationally present one step further, we must be curious students of the world of our children. Yes, that requires more efforts for us, yet it is a deeply impactful key to parenting well in these times. Do you know the lingo your children are using? Yeah, the fashion that is important, the music, the books, the movies that are being discussed. Do you know the current social media fads? Do you even know what social media platforms your children are involved in? These questions are not meant to overwhelm you, but inform you and get you thinking. Our children are being bombarded with information 24/7. If we are not aware of these things, we cannot effectively confront the cultural lies with the truth. And you see, this is one of the things when I was talking, we are treating digital parenting, where a lot of parents lack knowledge regarding the things happening in the world. And the saddest part is parents conveniently will agree and even say, oh, children know these things more than me, or it's their generation, it's their time. But we shouldn't just throw our hands in the air and just allow them to be knowledgeable in the modern things, whilst the parents take a back seat and lack the requisite knowledge. Because that generational gap of you being old school and not knowing anything in the modern world as it is, and the children conveniently also and confidently knowing you don't know, it creates a certain gap, which is dangerous, because if they are going in the wayward direction through these systems, that means they can conveniently go without any checks and balances because the parent doesn't know. So it's important parents get abreast with some of these things so that you can engage them in conversations, you can understand some of the things they are saying, and have a fruitful discussion and be able to advise better and all. That takes an effort on the side of parents. And you see, that's why we, once in a while, I talk about this digital parenting thing, to educate parents so that parents can at least have a certain level of knowledge. I believe in the course of this year, I hope to organize talk a bit more, have another session of digital parenting. Then the third key, work towards creating a culture of mental and emotional well-being. That's language creates culture, and culture has the power to speak life or speak death. Whether you realize it or not, every household has a culture around mental and emotional well-being. How does your culture or current culture recognize and treat emotions and mental health? This is a key to effective parenting because it establishes a community and a safe place within the family. When emotions are something not to be feared, they become indicators like a check engine light or something deeper, and can lead to conversations of growth and learning. And this is important because, you know, now research is showing that the effects of social media on girls, pushing them into depression, in some extreme cases there have been suicide cases as a result of social media posts and bullying, cyber bullying, and all these are realities happening out there. And in Ghana, yes, we are having such cases as well. Yes, we are having cases like that in the country. You see, so the depression that the girls are getting into, for the depression, is more of on the girl side than the boys, because it's more of like body shaming. You are too fat, your dress is not nice, you are not beautiful, you post a picture, people don't like it. Meanwhile, your other classmates post a picture and then it's like 200, 300 likes, 500 likes in the day. You post a picture a whole week, you don't even get 10 people. Then the child begins to get depressed. People don't like me. Is it that my dress is not nice? Is it that we are poor? I mean, all these things. So there's a lot when it comes to these things, and parents have a role to play in order to fix this in terms of the culture, that you can, the mental health, communicate with the child, and all that's under part for the parents. Then 4, work toward not being afraid to have hard conversations. You know, last week, today is Saturday. So this week I was having a chat with another parents. Both of us have our kids in the same high school, senior high school. And it's time. So we're just having, she is a school owner of a primary and JHS school, and we're having conversations, and we're saying that we've gotten to a point where parents should be bold to have conversations with their children, which hitherto we shy away from and we leave it to the system. When they grow, they will understand and all these things. Because the way the world is going now, it's either we confront the realities and address it head on, or we'll be overtaken and be surprised. And this is what the fourth point is. We should not be afraid to have hard conversations with our children, because it's not getting mad. The world is now mad. So we have very few sane people in the system. Thank God in our part of the world, majority of us are sane. But elsewhere, it's not so. I mean, the wind of madness is blowing so fast. And at least let's secure our homes before it ever gets here. That's the timing. We have to really secure our homes well, so that we are well grounded in our homes with our children. Then the fifth one, that's the final point for now. Remember that the goal to raise unique, independent, and thoughtful adults. Remember that there should be a goal to raise unique, independent, thoughtful adults. You are not really micromanaging them to be like you per se. You know that they are individuals on their own. They have a mind of their own. What you like may not be what they like. I mean, I don't mean like faith, like Christianity, but your likes may not be what they like in terms of other social things. You want to watch football, they don't want to watch football. You can't force them. In terms of like their likes, you want this, they don't want that. We have to understand that they also should have their way of thinking in some areas. So you should be able to draw the line as a parent and give them their space in some instances. So that it minimizes friction, unnecessary friction, because I know of instances where some parents want their children to do the exact thing, the profession, the same thing. Eventually it leads to depression, the children are not happy, they feel they are being controlled unnecessarily. Some of these things can best be avoided if there's open discussion and you allow them to have their mind, because you want the child to be a doctor. It will say, I don't want to be a doctor. Now it becomes a fight. All these things. See, and one problem can lead to others, because when now that resistance begins to build, they tend to look elsewhere, look up to friends, and that's where the challenge sometimes opens the door of unnecessary problems and temptations. So parents have to know where to draw the line and how to keep the home safe, so that the child doesn't depend on or decide to rely on, you know, outside friends who then may lead them to unnecessary issues. Briefly, that's it. But see, the reason why I spoke about this, I didn't really intend to, but well, I just felt I should, because I believe maybe to help someone. I mean, now I know that in such instances, God knows why He prompts me to do such things. Maybe just one person needed this information to save something, a situation at home or whatever, a child's life. We ultimately, I didn't add the spiritual aspects of praying for our children. Let me add that in closing. If there was ever a time we spend time praying for our children, it must be now. We have no option than to pray for them more than ever before, because the forces of darkness have really risen against the children. They are targeting the children. See, the devil wants to destroy the children before they even grow up, so that they are contaminated. So that's what is happening in the West. I mean, they are pushing. Actually, they are in some schools in the U.S. now. They are actually, the textbooks have pornography in them. I mean, I've seen some of, it's pornography. There's no question about it. Because if you open a book, a children's book, class 2, class 3, class 4, and you see people how to have sex, and the drawings are all, I mean, no, nothing hidden. It's pornography. It's obvious. I saw one mayor of a town who was so angry, went to the school board meeting. He sat down and just said that he's seen books to the effect that pornography is being shared in class. So he's addressing the district board. Either you stop it, you know, either you resign or you are going to be charged in the courts. Then he got up and left the meeting. And that's, see, this is a mayor who is concerned about the life of the children. But elsewhere, I mean, it's free for all. So parents are fighting, and they are bringing, some districts are bringing in policies to hide information from parents so that they cannot see what they are being taught. The children are being taught how to hide these things from their parents when they go home. You see, there is a real pressure out there. I mean, but thank God for us, we are not having these extremes. But the little we can do, let's nurture them in the Word of God more, and pray for them more than ever before. I believe, well, the little we do, God will also help us and give us the wisdom. We need more wisdom than ever before to be parents. This generation parenting is not the same as our parents parenting us. I mean, when we were kids, it's a whole different game altogether. All right, all too soon, time is up. And I believe you've learned something this evening. God willing, next week I'll be coming your way. This is recorded, it will be uploaded on spiritissues.info, and you can get it in the Telegram group Spirit Issues. And yeah, God willing, next week I'll be coming your way. Good night, and God bless you.